podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello everyone, welcome to another video and podcast from Fantasy Football Scout. I have noticed instantly, Sam, that I haven't got the right background on the screen because we're actually both doing better than that. And, you know, it's important that people know that we're both on big green arrows.
It's taken me a long time to get a green arrow. Let's have it, please.
You've still got a green arrow, but you've got an even better one. How is your week treating you so far, though?
It's actually not too bad, to be honest. I think, given what's been going on in the FPL community and how some people have got such little points, I can't really moan about mine. It's not too bad. I've got Josh King as captain, which, could have been better, but, you know, at least he didn't get sent off. So from that perspective, I'm all right with him. I had Rudiger, so there was a bit of a light, I suppose, from Spurs losing at the weekend. At least I got his point. So, it's all right. With Josh King still to play, it's all right.
God, I'm glad there's only... Well, there was 30 people watching and now there's 97. And honestly, I'm having a breakdown with these graphics. I don't know what is going on. I put the wrong one on, trying to sort it out. I think that's it now. Yeah, there we go. Now it's sorted. Oh, I do sometimes know what I'm doing. I just don't always press the right buttons and then trying to get it back. Anyway, we've got 153 people watching. Hello to all of you. Hello to everyone watching this later on. It's been a very, very strange game week. We're both non-Dennis owners. We're both King captainers.
Feel a bit jammy, to be honest. Do you?
God, just a bit. I mean, I don't know about you. I mean, we did the Q&A, didn't we, on Friday? We both said that Dennis was the best captain option. I didn't have Dennis. I was thinking about bringing him in for Ronaldo when the Ronaldo news broke. But in the end, I just thought, I can't be rocking with two Watford strikers, but... Yeah, I was worried about him going into it.
Yeah, I was. I didn't want to going forward, and that's what really put me off. So in the end, I was like, right, I can't have two Watford players long term. So just going to have to go without Dennis and just hope that King can match him. And then, a very bit of fortunous luck, I think fortunous is the best luck. Way to
very
put
nice.
It.
Very nice, yes.
From a non-Dennis owner, it was, you're gutted if you're a Dennis owner. But, he's so heavily owned that actually so many people in the same boat that it's not it's not horrendous. I mean, it's not as horrendous as it could have been.
No, I mean, for someone with an EO of over, an effective ownership of over 100% to get minus one doubled is crazy. How's the people in the chat? Hi to Greg Frost, who's laughing at me for my technical issues. FPL C-Dog, also the same. Yeah, it's all sorted now. We've got an interesting one this week. It's a lot of people are thinking of hitting the wildcard button. Some people have already done it. Obviously, we've got a big break. So, you know, people try and cash in on price rises and there's a few fixture swings. We've still got a bit of uncertainty around certain double game weeks. Manchester United, for example, is a big one. What do you do with their players if you're wildcarding? You know, do you get some in just in case they have one or do you kind of go without? So we're going to talk through... we've both done a wildcard draft. Neither of us are... You're not planning on wildcarding this week, are you?
I'm not planning on unless...
I haven't ruled it out.
Unless multiple bad things happen to my players over the next couple of weeks, I think with transfers, I can get roughly to the team that I would wildcard to within 2 weeks. So it's not, I don't think it's necessary. And there's still so much uncertainty, isn't there? Like you say, around double game weeks and around even COVID and games and stuff. So I want to try and hold it if I can, but I can see the appeal of playing it right now for sure.
Well, you know, the big reason for playing it right now is obviously people want to get Salah back because he's pretty almost certainly going to be back for the Leicester game. So what we've got is I spent all morning going through Twitter and Fantasy Football Scout, compiling the template, basically. Loads of people have sent their wildcard drafts in. Thanks if you've done that. I was going to go through 100. I forget how long it takes to actually get a spreadsheet out and type in every single player that everyone's got. So I managed 50, which I still think is a fairly sizable number. It did take me 3 hours. So we'll go through that. I've got some numbers on those and go through the community team. I just want to, before we do that, I want to talk about some stuff from Lego Mané, because he is awesome in the community. Posts some amazing stuff. He's got a lovely little fixture ticker on the screen. Obviously, you can use the Fantasy Football Scout one as well. But you can see here sort of Man City, United, Liverpool. These are sort of teams to kind of be targeting with all the greens, the seas of greens. And his other brilliant graphic is this one, which we'll be coming back to, which is the fixtures left for all the fixtures to be rearranged, the ones that have been postponed. So you can see here, Arsenal, for example, have Wolves, Tottenham, Chelsea, Liverpool. Burnley have Tottenham, Villa, Everton, Leicester. You've then got Everton, Spurs with three fixtures. Everton have got Burnley, Newcastle and Leicester, which is an amazing three fixtures for them, particularly for the attacking options. And Spurs with Burnley, Brighton and Spurs, which is nice as well, you know, for the likes of Kane and players. And Liverpool with Leeds, big target whenever that fixture gets dropped in. Any double game with Liverpool playing Leeds at home is going to be huge. And at Villa as well, Burnley and Leeds, amazing two fixtures for them. And we're going to see that we've got, you know, quite a few Villa players entering into people's thinking and reckoning with two players in particular. So what should we start with? Should we start with one of our teams, or should we go straight into one of the community team? What do you fancy, Sam?
I don't mind.
You don't mind? Let's go into the community team then. I've got that first on.
Go on then.
On my list. So this is the wildcard template community team. It fits in budget with quite a bit left over. It's De Gea in goal. 44% of the people I looked at had in their squad. Trent was the only person player with 100% ownership. Cancelo, 96. I think the only people that went without Cancelo had gone for Laporte instead. So, you know, just freed up a little bit of cash that way. But, I mean, you know, 96% is pretty high. Dean, 78%. Interestingly, cash was only, only one person out of the 50 I looked at that went for cash. So Dean is now massively the favourite for that spot. Laporte, 56%. So a lot of people doubling up in Van City. And then in midfield, you've got Bowen, 94%. So no one is getting rid of Bowen. I think given that he's got Watford next game, probably helps. Salah, 92%. The only people that didn't have Salah as well had already made plans to get him in, you know, maybe the week after. I think there was a few people who had gone for Sterling and were looking at sort of switching him over. De Bruyne, really popular, 56% of teams. And then Rafinha and Jota, one of those two, tied on 42%. And then you've got Broya, 72% ownership. Really popular. And Ollie Watkins at 62%. And then just some notable ones I picked out. Ramsdale was at 30%. He was the second highest goalkeeper. Majority of people obviously pairing him with someone else because he's got two blanks coming up. Eight Nori. That is now the budget defender of choice. 48% of teams had him in. Robertson, 30%. So quite a few people switching Jota out, bringing Robertson in to a back four. Quite a few back fives as well. And Edouard.
Is that a budget thing, do you think? Was that a budget thing, or was that for double Liverpool defence?
I'm not sure it is. It's for double Liverpool defence. So everyone had Trent and these people had paired him with Trent. And Robertson, obviously had got Salah and then no Jota. I think it's because there's so many midfield options at the moment that people are just looking at that Jota spot and thinking, can I, you know, get Robertson in instead and use that spot for someone else? But another one, really popular, especially on Twitter, Edouard, 28% going for Edouard. Now, do you think that's just because he's got Norwich next? Do you think he's do you think he's a good long-term pick? I'm not convinced.
I do. I think he's a good long-term pick.
You like him?
I
mean,
I think he's in good form. I do like him, yeah. Spoiler alert for what might be coming up soon. I think he's a good long-term pick. I think he's got decent fixtures. I think the way that Palace are playing, you watch them obviously against Liverpool, and actually thought that they played really well, particularly in the back end of that game. And there was a lot of really good stuff and movement from him, the way that he pushes and drives. I think he could be a really nice pick. He's nice and cheap as well, good differential. And I do think when you're wildcarding, you do want a couple of differentials in there. You want a couple of players in there that aren't heavily owned, because otherwise, if you just wildcard to template, you're not really giving yourself the opportunity to make the most of the wildcard, I suppose, and gain that overall rank. For me, I always think with wildcard, there are certain players that you have to have. And you know that when you're wildcarding, if you've got them already in your team, they're the places that aren't going anywhere. If you haven't got them, like Salah at the moment, he becomes an essential buy-in, I think, if you're wildcarding. But then there are other spots where you think, particularly that forward line, there isn't necessarily standout forward picks there. So why not use that as your opportunity to get some differential picks in there, players with nice fixtures, particularly against Norwich next, but also that are regularly starting and playing well in the teams that they play for. And I think both Broya and Edouard both offer that potential.
Yeah, very interesting. Yeah, it's interesting the talk about sort of being a bit different, because I mean this to me looks like a very template team, right? And it is, because it is the template team that I've been looking at. But I guess there's players here, if you wildcard into this, you are kind of having a few different players compared to someone like me, for example, like my team. So my team is pretty template that I've got at the moment, but I haven't got double City defence. I haven't got De Bruyne. I haven't got Watkins, for example. Mm-hmm. I bought in Dean, but a lot of people, I think, would not have him. So, you know, we're going to see these ownerships increase with players like Watkins, Dean, Broya, Rafinha is another one. But like, if you're not wildcarding, it's unlikely you're going to be able to get them all in at kind of once. So you are getting ahead. I think this team, that there are players here with these ownerships aren't like 25% plus.
Yeah.
These ownerships for a lot of these players are kind of around the 20%. They seem higher because it's Twitter. But I think this is a very, very solid team, actually. I think if we're going to talk about our wildcard teams in a second, but I think if you wildcarded into this team, you would be pretty confident of getting some fairly decent returns going forward. I mean, if you look at the fixtures for City, for example, you know, the next three fixtures for City are Southampton, Brentford, Norwich. And then they've got Spurs, Everton. I mean, you've got three City players for those games. Then I think you're kind of laughing. But the big question, Sam, the big question for you is, you will notice there is a real absence in this team of Manchester United players. Now, is that an oversight, given that we are becoming increasingly more confident that they are going to have a double in game week 25, which is going to be Southampton and Brighton? No Ronaldo, no Fernandes. I mean, De Gea is there, but is that enough?
Well, the problem I have with United is the lack of consistency in the way that they play. Some games they look all right, other games they look awful. They don't. I think the problem with the likes of Ronaldo and Fernandes is the cost implications for owning them. So owning Ronaldo makes it very difficult to have KDB and Salah, as well as that premium back line that you have there with Trent, Cancelo and Laporte. If you want to have premium defenders, two premium midfielders, then there's no real way that you're going to be able to have Ronaldo unless you go totally cheap and go for 2 4.5. You know, maybe you could go Ramsey and Gordon as your two other midfielders, but then you're going to be missing out on all those kind of mid-price spots where there's loads of value right now, and loads of like Bowen and Jota, great potential there in those sorts of players, Rafinha too. So for me, going for Ronaldo, it's a straight choice really between, do you want to go Ronaldo or do you want to go Salah? Now Ronaldo has the nicer fixtures, there is no doubt about that, but form isn't there. United as a whole aren't playing as well as you would want them to be to invest that level of money. So it's an easy win for Salah for me in that conversation. And then I don't see the value in many other positions at Manchester United. Yes, Bruno's been on good form in the last couple of games, but then one of those games Ronaldo didn't play in, and he always seems to play better when Ronaldo doesn't play. He sort of stands up and has that kind of talismanic effect. And then in the second game, yes, he returned again, but you know, I haven't seen any consistency from him. And at that price point, on consistency. So you're looking then at dropping right down in price, maybe somebody like Dalot, maybe somebody like, I don't know, Greenwood. But then again, I'm still not seeing the defensive returns that you would want from the likes of Dalot. And I don't think that there's value in Greenwood. So
no. Sure, but my first thought was people who get rid of all their United players are going to regret it. I mean, it's Burnley next, for example, a good game for them. And then potentially the game week 25 double. But the more I think, well, but City's fixture is so good. And of course, there's people in the chat that are right. I read out that City have got Southampton next. They've already played them. So they haven't. Sorry, that there's a slightly old fixture list. But, you know, even without that Southampton game, like in game week 25, that's when City play Norwich. So if you've got De Bruyne versus Norwich or Fernandes against two quite... I mean, Southampton and Brighton aren't two pushover teams at the moment.
No, it's not easy.
Southampton have just got a draw against Man City when everyone expected them to lose heavily. And Brighton have been going toe-to-toe with some of the best teams and getting good results. So I don't think there's any guarantee that there's going to be... I mean, if you're looking at De Bruyne versus Fernandes and Ronaldo, I can completely see why people are going for De Bruyne.
Yeah.
Here's a question for you. Out of the 50 people, out of the 50 wildcards I looked at, guess how many had Ronaldo in their team?
Hardly any, I reckon. Because I think if you're wildcarding, you don't have him. Like one or two, I'd have gone.
It's actually 4. 8%. No, I can show you some of this. Yeah, so Broya was the most popular striker at 72%, 36 of the 50. Watkins next, 62%. Edward, then Edward. Antonio down to 24%, so only the quarter of the teams. But then you're looking at a 4.5 forward, someone like Gelhart, someone like that. Then Ida, the Norwich striker, Dennis, King, Kane, and then Ronaldo at four. So people are clearly shifting the money, you know, out of the striker spots. Just to answer a few questions in the chat about this, the team structure. I've basically done a first 11. It's a wildcard template first 11, and then, you know, and then a significant percent of the significant percent on the right is just other percentages, which I just thought were quite interesting. There's no point in me putting in like Ramsey and a 4 million defender and that kind of stuff. It's kind of the key targets that people are looking at. That's the kind of idea of this. Just because a few people mentioned that in the chat. Yeah, so I mean, I quite like it. So in terms of differentials then, if I just go back to my spreadsheet, I mean, looking at this list, like, this is all of the players that people had. Like, it's not a huge amount of picks. There isn't a huge like selection that we can kind of choose from. I mean, Foden, for example, is at 22% in wildcard drafts, so people are clearly favouring the step up to De Bruyne. Coutinho, 20% of teams.
Well, I'm surprised that's not higher.
Yeah, I thought people would be more likely to target the Villa mid. I guess because people are going for Dean and Watkins.
Yeah, and the midfield spots are harder because there is a lot of players in there that you could go with. And I know that for me, the appeal of Watkins is, again, it goes back to what I said before, there isn't a huge amount of forwards that I really want to own in FPL right now. So, but being able to go Watkins for Villa's nice fixtures, plus also for any potential doubles that they get scheduled in, feels nice. Whereas with Coutinho, it feels a little bit more punty maybe because there are other players that are performing really well that I could get in his place in midfield.
Would you maybe think of Buendia over Coutinho?
Yeah. I mean, I like Buendia a lot. I thought the last two games in particular, he's been fantastic. Best two games he's had for Villa easily.
Yeah.
But again, it's a midfield spot.
It is, yeah. I at the moment, if I'm choosing one of Coutinho or Buendia, I think I'm going for Buendia. I think given the fact that he's improved enormously under Gerrard, you know, in terms of touching the box, shots, he scored the great header last week. Coutinho was pretty poor against Everton, really. Didn't really look like he was completely up to speed. I don't think it's going to come at some point, but
yeah,
you kind of feel like you need points now, right? And if Buendia is doing a lot of what we want from Coutinho, taking set pieces, getting touched in the box, kind of makes sense to kind of go for him. A few other players here, which I thought was quite low ownership, I think you could consider. Son, in just six teams, 12%. Could be a factor. Now if he's coming back from injury.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he will be back. He's supposed to be back early Feb, so I'm expecting him back for game week 24, 25 at the latest. So he's definitely a player that you can look at. And I think in the team that we'll look at, that I've done in a minute, I've left a couple of million in the bank on that basis that I'm likely going to want some, because the Spurs doubles, as you mentioned, the fixtures that have got to be rearranged for Spurs are nice. So I want to have the opportunity to be able to get to Sun, and that's going to be a much easier process than trying to get to Kane because of the price discrepancies between them. So, you know, I don't want to leave 5 million in the bank, probably more than that, to upgrade potentially who would be my most expensive forward to get to Kane, whereas taking one of my premium-ish midfielders, you know, the likes of maybe Jota up to Sun is much easier. So I think there's huge potential there.
Yeah, me too. I like it. And the other player that I like the look of, who I've actually got in my wildcard draft, bit of a spoiler, is Corne. Right? He's 6% owned. He's in 3 out of the 50 teams. He's got so many games. He's going to be doubling almost every week at the rate they are. And can he stay fit, I guess, is the big question. But I think he's a great like fifth midfielder, potentially. 5.9.
Yeah. I agree. And I think, you know, the reality of this situation is, how often do you want to play your Burnley players? If you get a defender, not very, particularly if you've got a defence like we just seen in that community wildcard template. Like, that's Tarkowski and the like aren't going to get on the pitch that often. But when they do double, and if they get nice pairings of doubles, then you could play them. There's some attacking threat there too, potentially. But they're useful for a bench boost. And that's kind of where my head is that going with a Burnley player on wildcard that you don't necessarily want to play every week is fine, because they're going to have plenty of double game weeks coming up because they've got so many games to be rescheduled. And at some point, we've got to hit that bench boost chip. And I'm quite happy to have, say, Tarkowski playing for me in a double game week for Burnley when my bench boost is active.
Yeah, absolutely. I think going for a Burnley player of some description isn't a bad idea, as long as you can bench him when they have one game, but then you bring him in when they've got two. I quite like it. I mean, the thing with Cornet, as Marvin Johnson says in the chat, is can he stay fit? Can he actually play two games in a row? I guess that's the question. But, you know, if you're looking at a fifth mid, then I think you can kind of afford to take that risk. We've had a super chat from the Skip Bayless, who asks about Calvert-Lewin. Now, he's in your draft. He was only in three of the 50 teams that I looked at. The fixtures for Everton are really good. They are Villa, Newcastle, Leeds, Southampton. So particularly Newcastle and Leeds are good ones to target there. And then City, Tottenham, Wolves and Watford. And like I said kind of earlier, the fixtures they've got to come in, they've got three games, Burnley, Newcastle and Leicester, which are three really nice games. So you like Calvert-Lewin, don't you?
I do like Calvert-Lewin. I think Calvert-Lewin is a great player. I enjoy watching him. My issue has been Everton, right? So I've owned Calvert-Lewin now for a couple of weeks, and he was the spot when I was doing this draft for you. I was kind of looking at Everton thinking the fixtures are still really nice. There's a reason I went Calvert-Lewin, because the fixtures were really nice. But beyond that, there's this potential for double game weeks that they're going to have to get rescheduled. They're nice fixtures that have got to go in there. If they happen to slot in on the nice weeks where they've got a really good fixture already, there's real potential there. The fact that Benitez is gone and they've got Ferguson back in, I think bodes well for Calvert-Lewin. There was a lot of chatter. Calvert-Lewin made some comments after the last time Ferguson was manager about how he made him feel more confident, because he was obviously that person for Everton all those years ago, that there was that kind of aspirational thing from Calvert-Lewin and wanting to kind of learn and understand how he played. So I don't know. I think for me, Calvert-Lewin would be a player that I would want to take a punt on wildcard, because you're taking a punt on good form, some bounce, not good form, but good fixtures, some bounce coming with the new manager. And the fact that surely the fans now get behind them in a way that we haven't really seen over the last, well, since maybe the beginning of the season, because they weren't happy with the original appointment. So players also coming back from injury. Obviously, we've seen Richarlison coming back. So as that team gets bolstered by their players coming back from injury and they start learning to play, I mean, this has come at the perfect moment, hasn't it, the new manager stuff, because he's now got a couple of weeks with them to work on improving all the stuff that was wrong. And I thought they were better against Aston Villa. They
second half, for sure.
They were better.
Yeah.
There was definitely some more drive, some more motivation, some actual seeming of caring that was coming out of Everton in that game. So for me, Calvert-Lewin is one that I think is worth a punt on wildcard.
Yeah, and the interesting thing is, I mean, I'm both surprised and not surprised with the ownership of Watkins, because I mean, Watkins is 62% owned. He's got one goal in his last six starts, I think it is, and you know, he's kind of that classic bandwagon where everyone's kind of piling on him, but he hasn't really done it. I mean, he's been playing well, and he is all the stats indicate he's Villa's, you know, chief kind of goal threat. But I think he's probably the one that I think I would go with him on a wild card. But I think if you're happy to roll the dice a little bit on someone like Calvert-Lewin, I think that could be somewhere where you could differentiate your team a little bit, because you know, one goal in six, you know, any player that does that, no matter how good the stats are, you've got to think, well, why aren't you getting more? Why aren't you getting goals? Why aren't you getting assists? So, yeah, at 62%, I think that might be someone, that might be the spot that you could look at. And Calvert-Lewin would probably be the one that I'd go for. Okay, so just before we move on to your team, let's just quickly touch on the defence. So some of these defensive numbers. So like I said, Trent, 100% owned, 50 out of 50 teams. Cancelo, 48. Dean, 39, 78%. And then Laporte. And then the Wolves player. So Ait Nouri was the most popular. He was the most probably budget option, sorry. But he was often on people's benches. They've got quite a tough run coming.
Yeah.
But then, essentially, you've got Spurs defence. And so that includes sort of Davies, Reguilon. There's mostly Reguilon, but there was a few Davieses in there as well, 20%. And then Dalot is the only United defender that people are considering at 16%. What's your thoughts on Spurs defenders? I mean, it was you know, all change, wasn't it, against Chelsea? No Royale, no Reguilon.
I don't know. The Reguilon thing baffles me, honestly. I'm just a bit baffled. I still don't think he's 100% right. He's gone on holiday, I noticed this morning. He's gone to Dubai. He's gone off to Dubai on holiday. So there you are. He's going to get a nice rest.
I don't think he's quite right.
He's not quite right.
I think he's got a little persistent injury, yeah. And he's not able to play at the levels that Conte wants him to.
And I also think that listening to what Conte's been saying, I think that with both, well, Royale definitely, he said after the last game that actually Royale wasn't really available for game week 22. He made himself available because we were struggling for people in that position and then only managed half a game. And they obviously then brought Doherty on, he played okay. And I thought Doherty had a pretty poor game against Chelsea, but hey, it was against Chelsea, so fair enough. But I think Reguilón is the obvious pick if you want to go with the Spurs defence. I do think he'll be back. I don't think that this is a Reguilón's disappeared from Conte's thinking and he'll never play again. I think he's carrying something and he's probably just needing a bit more recovery time. The positive thing from going from a Spurs defence is that come game week 24, we should see Romero back as well. So Romero and Dier in that centre of defence with Højbjerg and Skip sitting in front of them should make that middle passage much more solid, and that will give us the opportunity to have the wing backs go, and hopefully, like you say, Royale will be back by then, Reguilón will be back by then, both fit and available, and then it does make Reguilón a really attractive option. And I think it's something that on a wild card I will be listening to what Conte says over the next week or so and seeing what Spurs do in the window, but I think Reguilón could be a really nice differential pick, particularly if you're not going to get a Spurs forward as part of a wild card, because they are going to double, the fixtures are, there's a couple of difficult games in there, of course, none less than Manchester City, but there's also a couple of nice ones in there too. So good opportunity maybe to target Spurs at a cheaper price point and still be able to afford the premiums elsewhere.
Yeah, and he's got a break now, right? Like, he's in Dubai, he's on holiday. Hopefully he can have a rest and kind of get up.
I mean, recuperate.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's my assumption. I don't think it's tactical. I think he's obviously... He's perfect for that position when he's fully fit and right. And you know, Conte knows that. So I think it has to be some kind of muscle injury or something just keeping him out of it. I like Reguilón. It's interesting. Not many people going for him. And if you're going for Davies, I mean, what happens when Romero's back? I guess it's Sanchez that drops out. So it'd be Dier, Romero and Davies, right?
Well, I thought so. But actually, when you look at Sanchez's underlying stats, they are ridiculous. Like, he's got the best underlying stats in that defence at the moment. Spurs were posting about it the other day and I was like, that can't be right. So I took myself off to the members area to check, but it was right. Like, his underlying stats are actually good. And I think Conte has developed him in a way that he didn't really get before because he wasn't getting consistent game time. So I'd be interested to see whether it's Davis or Sanchez that eventually drops out. The obvious dropout is Sanchez, but the way that he's been playing, be interesting to see what Conte does, which makes me kind of less want to go with one of those two and probably stick it out with Reguilón. I mean, if you want to go really cheap that you can bench, then there's nothing wrong with going Eric Dier. He'll go up for every set piece. He sometimes takes takes free kicks. So there's an opportunity maybe to go for a cheap sit on the bench Spurs defender that only comes in as part of a bench boost if you really want that.
God, if you wildcard and bring in Eric Dier,
I could wash my hands of you. You could bench him. I don't think it's a good decision, by the way. But if you wanted somebody in your team that you're only going to bring on if there's a bench boost potentially, or as a real backup option because you're going for premium. Like, if you've got that community wildcard, the Trent, Cancelo, Dini, Laporte, then maybe going for somebody of Eric Dier's price point with games in hand that you're benching every week but comes in for the boost is all right. But I prefer Reguilón by a long way.
Yeah, same. We got 621 people watching us live, Sam. Hello to everyone on YouTube. If you're listening to the podcast version, consider joining us live if you can on YouTube. I appreciate people work and stuff. It's not always easy. If you are watching this live now, would really appreciate if you would like the stream and subscribe to the channel. And of course, check out Fantasy Football Scout as well. You can check out the comments section where I got all these lovely teams from. And you can obviously join the members area and do some stats and tinkering with your wildcard team. It should help you with that. But before we do that, let's come on to our teams. So this is the team that you sent me earlier, the wildcard team that you would go for. And I will stress that we aren't currently considering wildcarding, but like you said, that could all change before the end of this long break, isn't it? What, like 3 weeks for the next game? Mm. Oh, God. Okay, so Sanchez and Ramsdale in goal. Tarkowski, who you mentioned, Trent, Cancelo, Williams and Dean. Ramsey, Foden, Jota, Salah, Bowen, Calvert-Lewin, Edouard, your new best mate, and Watkins. So a lot of players there, obviously similar to the to the template team. I think there is going to be a strong template of wildcard teams. There wasn't a huge amount of variance in those. But yeah, talk to me about some of these.
I mean, like I said before, there's 2 million in the bank because it's based on my squad value, this one. So there's 2 million in the bank, which gives me some flexibility to get to Sun, which was kind of what I wanted to put myself in a position where I can get to a Spurs forward. Although Kane, there was a big part of me that tried to do a wildcard team that had Kane still in it, because I do think his improvement in the last couple of weeks has been remarkable and, you know, could have scored against Chelsea, should have got 3 or 4 against Leicester the week before. Like, there was plenty of opportunities in those games, and I think we'll start to see him coming back into his own over the next few weeks. So I would have liked to have done that, but it's really difficult because I think you have to make some tough decisions. And for me, if I'm going to wildcard, I want to keep 2 rotating keepers so that for that bench boost, because I would aim to bench boost almost straight after. And then maybe it's at that point that you take one of them down to a cheap non-playing or the, you know, the spare at their club, so that you've got a free bit more money up there, and you can maybe work your way back up to him, which that's kind of how I was seeing it. There's not a lot of hugely differential players, because I think I'd play a back 3 most weeks of Trent, Cancelo and Luke Dean, with Williams, bless him, always returning on my bench at the moment, but would continue to sit on the bench and return points. Tarkowski's there, like I say, simply because of the fixtures that Burnley have left to reschedule, means that there's going to be plenty of doubles where I might want to differentiate my team and play him. The middle, there's more decisions to be made. The Jota place is debatable, I think, with his form at the moment. And that would be the spot that could be Sun's of this team. Like, that could easily be Sun in the midfield there. Foden, I like. I think he's playing well. Can't afford KDB if I want to keep this team in the way that it is. It would need more. Somebody up top would have to come right down. And I quite like those 3. I want to give them the opportunity to perform over the next few weeks and see what they do. I mean, one of them could drop right down to a really cheap enabler in that price point, and that would work. But I like the idea of keeping Jota for now, particularly as we, you know, don't know for sure what Salah will do. Like, if he gets all the way to the final, will he come straight back in for game week 24, or will there be some? Will he not make it back for 20? Like, it depends on when the flight leaves and his availability, doesn't it? And we've seen some of them come back from AFCON and not exactly be fully firing Thomas Partey on their return.
Also, some have flown back on the day and then played in the next match, and others have had like a week holiday, like Mahrez. Yeah. So you never really know what's going to happen.
I don't see Klopp giving Salah a week off.
No.
I think Salah will be back in. I think he'll be back for Leicester, which is why I've put him in. But I'd just be keeping an eye on what Klopp has got to say. And of course, things might change anyway, depending on what happens in the next few games at AFCON as to whether he's there or not. So, but Bowen was non-negotiable with the way that he's been playing. I really like Ramsey. I think he's a perfect enabler. Mm. He's got great fixtures with Aston Villa. I would happily play him every week. So he actually provides a bit of drama in terms of who gets benched, because the obvious player to bench is your 4.5. But for the majority of weeks over the next few weeks, I wouldn't want to bench him. Yeah, I'd want to play him.
Ramsey's a really, really nice player. I think if you're looking for a 4.5, he's just so by far the best. Well, yeah. He's going to do way more than someone like Billy Gilmore ever did.
Yeah. For us. I mean, the only other one that's got potential in that spot is maybe Gordon. But then Aston Villa are playing way better than Everton. So you have that kind of, you'd want to invest as much as possible in the team that's playing better. So Ramsey's there. And then up top, Watkins, because I think if you're wildcarding, that's probably going to be a spot that you need to at least consider doing. Calvert-Lewin I like, simply because I think he is a great player, and at some point he's going to come good. There's a lot of rumour about him going somewhere else, but I just can't.
They can't sell him in this window, can they?
I can't see it. If they sell him in this window, they've got... Well, I just can't see they let him go. I really can't. So if he's going to be at Everton for the rearranged postponed fixtures, and with the fixtures the way that they are, then I'm going to want to own him. And then I already talked about Edouard earlier. I like him as a player. I think he's really good. He's a great differential as well. He's playing in a Palace team that seems to be re-finding some form again after a little bit of a sticky patch. Why was that so hard to say? and yeah, like I say, I think if you wildcard, you have to have a couple of picks in there that aren't 100% template. So going with players like Tarkowski, like Ramsey, like Edward and like Calvert-Lewin gives you a little bit of differentialness without taking away from the key players that you need.
Yeah. I mean, Edward has got 3 goals, 2 assists in his last 4 games. He's playing Norwich, which he got 14 points against in game week 20. But he has been subbed off at 60 minutes in his last 2 matches. And that's kind of the worry with him a little bit, isn't it? It's this kind of, they've got options with like Benteke, Ayew. Mateta's come in and been doing something as well. Does he get shifted over to the wing? Does he play? That's the options. My critique of your wildcard team is that I like it. That's the first thing. It's interesting when I look at players like Foden and I look at the ownership statistics of what I looked at, because like Foden is so low down the list. I mean, Foden's like 20%, so one in five teams have got him. I can tell you with absolute certainty that if I was wildcarding, there is absolutely no way I'd have Jota. I think this is the perfect time to jump off the Jota train, with Salah coming back, with his ownership so ridiculously high, and the fact that he hasn't been doing that well. Like, come on, we all expected so much more from Diogo Jota, didn't we?
Glad you're not a teacher. Imagine the school reports you'd send out.
Well, I mean, come on, he's basically an out of position Liverpool mid for 8 million, and like everyone's going on about how incredible he is and everything, and like he's done okay. Like, he got a very, very fortuitous assist against Palace. He's got like a couple of goals, but he hasn't been a captain option, really. No one's been going there. I just think, yeah, he's the kind of player that I know could return, but with his ownership so high, he's exactly the kind of player that I'd be looking to move on a wild card to try and tap into something else. And I think we've got good options everywhere else. I mean, we talk about Son, we talk about KDB, you know, even someone like Corne could come in, you know, Buendia, Coutinho. I'd rather have any of these guys over Jota going forward. And if you want to be even more different, then you can do what quite a few people are doing and go for Robertson instead. Go for the Trent and Robertson double up and have Salah. That's my thoughts, anyway. Other than that, Calvert-Lewin.
Harsh,
but probably fair. Yeah. Yeah, and then Calvert-Lewin, we've talked about to death. I mean, only three people were brave to go with him. And
interesting to me that.
Yeah, it's interesting that I said I'd go for him over Watkins. You've actually gone for him over Broja, who is, you know, kind of like the third most popular pick.
Yeah, from these rogue. Picks.
You've gone rogue there.
I do like Broja. It's not that I don't like him. I do like him. And, you know, he could easily replace Edward. But I don't think I'd replace Calvert-Lewin with him or Watkins with him. Mm. Maybe Edward you could, because that would free up a bit more money as well, wouldn't it? But I do like Broja. It's just, again, it's that cheaper price point of forwards that I think you're going to be wanting to invest.
I think people have gone for Broja because they're pouring money into midfield, because the majority of teams have gone for like a De Bruyne and a Salah, for example, if they've had to free up some money, whereas you've only got one premium in this setup. You've only gone for Salah, which I think limits you a little bit in terms of he's going to pretty much be your captain every week. I also appreciate you're not actually wild card into this team. I'm talking like you are to add a bit of drama to it.
Drama.
Whereas if you had someone like you know, Fernandes or Ronaldo or someone else, then I guess you've got that other.
I mean, I do think if that was my team, and that wouldn't, if I wildcarded, that would pretty much be there or thereabouts what I would do. But like I say, there's the money in the bank to have Son as well. So you would then have that opportunity to move the armband between those two. But it is a point that's worth considering, isn't it? And but then also, how bad is it to perma-captain Salah? Because that is what we're all doing anyway.
Exactly. Do you need to give it to anyone else? Yeah. General consensus from the chat, though, Sam, is that they like this team. So.
It's all right, I think. There's enough differentials in there that you can get somewhere without destroying your rank by not having the key, I think.
Yeah. Let's take a look at my one. My one isn't hugely dissimilar. I've gone for a bit of a different structure. So I've got De Gea and just a 3.9 goalkeeper in there. I think United have got decent fixtures. They've got, you know, the doubles, potential double coming up. Yeah. De Gea, I'm probably looking. I've got Ramsdale in my own team, and I'm probably looking to get rid of Ramsdale over De Gea because Ramsdale's got the blanks, so I can't get rid of De Gea. I can have a goalkeeper with two blanks coming up, so you've got to bear that in mind. I've gone for Dean, Trent, Cancelo, Robertson, and I do think Ait Nouri is the standout 4.3 defender option, given how good Wolves are defensively. You know, they haven't conceded more than 2 goals since like game week 3 or something.
They've been great, haven't they? Since I sold my Wolves defender, they've just been on a right streak. It's difficult, but it's amazing. Yeah, he's great.
It's amazing. Yeah, and they were in contention for top four place, which is even more remarkable. In midfield, I've gone for Corne, Salah, Foden, De Bruyne and Bowen. This is where my kind of team value comes in, because I can go for someone like Corne at 5.9 over someone, you know, like over Ramsey. I think Ramsey's a great pick, regardless of price. But I've got a bit more money, so I can put Corne in there. So I've got the double up with Salah and De Bruyne. If the United double got announced, I'd probably go Fernandes over De Bruyne. Just because I think Fernandes has got Burnley, right? So that's that fixture sorted. And then I know De Bruyne's got Norwich, but we talked about it loads of times. You've got to favour the player with two games.
Yeah.
And then up front, I've got Watkins, who I'm not entirely amazed with. I think the stats are good and he's kind of the main striker, but as I said, hasn't really been doing it. And then I've gone for Broya. And then Ida, 4.9. He's the kind of fodder.
Which is interesting with this team.
What I like about this team is it's quite flexible, because I can play four at the back with Dean, Trent, Cancelo and Robertson. And then I can play Salah, Foden, De Bruyne, Bowen, Watkins and Broya. So that's a 4-4-2. Or I can move, you know, 3-5-2 and bench Dean if he's got a tough game or something like that. I can bring Corne in if he's got the doubles. You know, I'm sort of relatively happy to play all of these players, and Ida is like the last resort. So he's like the kind of last on the bench most weeks. Yeah. But, you know, he's been
like Brandon Williams for me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you've got to have one. So I think Ida is obviously the worst player in this side. Every team's got to have one weakness, but the rest of it, I think, is pretty strong. This is probably something that I'd go with. I was surprised to see Corne so low. I think Corne is the perfect wildcard pick. I think he's the one.
Burnley, isn't it? Like, they've sold Chris Wood. Like, their attacking potential is like in the floor right now. They're all right defensively when they want to be. They can be all right defensively, but. I think, and it's out of sight, out of mind, right? He's gone off to AFCON, so you forget about Corne, and you're not kind of looking at Burnley thinking, oh, I must invest. Even if you look at the fixture schedule, you know, you look at the fixture schedule and go, oh, I've got a lot of games in hand, but that still doesn't immediately shout, I must buy a Burnley player. So particularly for Corne, I wonder if we were doing this the week after he comes back from AFCON and he wasn't flagged in the game, whether more people would then...
Yeah.
Be That's looking true. At him, particularly if Burnley had a double game week announced. So say he comes back from AFCON, the flag disappears, a double game week gets announced in whichever week, his numbers will increase because he is the best pick in that Burnley team.
But then I think quite a few people won't, you know, the casuals, as everyone hates that phrase, won't really know that Burnley probably got all these games potentially coming up soon. So this is the kind of time where you can use it. You know, we talk about planning and how COVID and stuff has affected our ability to plan. Well, looking at things like Lego Mane's ticker and things, that can actually help you get ahead. And I'm hoping from now we start seeing things, you know, sort of calm down a bit, because we had a full set of fixtures last week for the first time since game week 16, I think. And yeah, hopefully things can kind of start getting back to normal. I think that's it. I think we've covered two wildcard drafts. We've covered the community template. If anyone's interested in this spreadsheet, I can make it available somewhere. As I said, it's only 50 teams, but it gives a bit of a snapshot into what people are looking at. Anything you want to add, Sam? Anything else we haven't covered? Or shall I let you go?
No.
Okay.
I was just pondering on whether I should destroy your wildcard team, but I quite like it, so I can't really. Yeah. The only thing I don't like is the non-playing goalkeeper, because a bench boost.
Yeah, well, that is very true, and I think that's where Sanchez could potentially come in. If you can
take 0.5 somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. What I did like, there was one comment which was basically, I like the use of the word arseways. As his wild card has the potential to go arseways very quickly. That is pretty much everything. That's pretty much everything that I put together on these things. It's either everything I do is either great or terrible. There's never any in between, really.
But this season it's all been going quite well. So this maybe season we should just trust you.
This season it's not been going arseways, which is nice. Anyway, with that with that lovely terminology, we will end the stream there. Thank you everyone for watching and listening, and we will see you soon.